Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Tonight I titled as Our Obedience Equals God's Blessings. Our obedience equals God's blessings. What good is it for the Word of God if we choose not to obey? What good is the Bible if we choose not to obey? Even if we can memorize the entire Bible. But if we choose not to obey the Word of God, then it's useless, in my opinion. It's nothing more than all the entire Bible verses is nothing more than a handful of knowledge, something we can show off, we can boast about to others. The world is full of the people who have a head knowledge about the Word of God. In most cases, they don't have everything in context, and in most cases, they can twist the Bible verses for their own convenience, for their own selfish motive. Some people, majority of verses they quote is heaven help those who help themselves, right? That's in the Second Opinion, chapter 6. So, many born-again Christians, even many born-again Christians think that obeying the word from cover to cover is somewhat optional, is it? In our church, in Calvary Chapel, we take the word of God very seriously, as you know. That's why we memorize the verses, that's why we memorize the index of the Bible, to get familiar with the Word of God. Let's not think that this is just another book. It is the voice of God speaking to us. If you want to hear from God, consult this. Don't consult some stupid crystal ball, because it does not speak to you. Anything will speak through that is a demonic thing. Certainly not a horoscope. Please, if you read the horoscope, you need to repent. I'm serious. Some people will not get out of bed unless they read the horoscope first. And they call themselves a Christian. There are three elements, the three essentials that we must do, and that Israelite in the wilderness had to do it. First thing is listening to the word, God's word. Listening to the God's word. Second thing is remembering. Remembering the God's word. Thirdly, obeying it. First, what is it? Listening. Second, remembering. Third, obeying. You cannot have one, you cannot have a two and ignore one. You cannot say, well, two out of three isn't bad. No, that doesn't work here. And someone will say, well, it's good for government work. No, not for God's work. Maybe okay for government work. Come to think of it, they are still essential for Christian work in Christ Jesus. As we walk through this world, we cannot succeed without God's guidance, protection, and provision that comes from listening to what the Bible says, and remembering the verses, and obeying them. Let's go to James chapter 1, please. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go to James, please. Right before Hebrews. I'm sorry, right after Hebrews. Sorry. You there yet? Okay, but he who looks into the perfect law of the liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful here but doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Instead of being a hearer of the word, we have to be a doer of the word. I think I mentioned this to you. One time I was in the missions conference, one of the missionaries asked me, since they find out that I'm a pastor, and there are two other prominent pastors of the Calvary Chapel sitting, and that particular person asked us, three of us, what is the best version of the Bible? That is, if you want to fight, ask that among the Christian. Just ask them, which one is the best version? And then you see them having fighting. It's like Isaac game. Fight! Let's watch them. I said, before these two famous guys answered, I blurted out, it doesn't matter which version do you use. The one you practice is the most important thing. But I didn't say it that fast. I said, it doesn't matter which version you use. And you had to see the horror in these two prominent guys' face. It's like a heresy. They think they kind of look down on the NIV or the New Living Translation. They kind of think that New King James is a kind of cat's meow. I'm not that smart, but what good is it for me to memorize the entire New King James Version from cover to cover if I don't do it? Right? It's better for me to know the five verses, put them in my heart, do that. Then know 5,000 verses out of 18,000 and not do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how important for us to be obedient to you. Your word said that disobedience is like a witchcraft, something you despise, something you hate. Father, we want to be obedient children, that we may please your name, and we may please you and glorify your name, Father. So we are asking you to speak to our heart. Engrave in our heart, then we may look to you whenever we face a decision moment and seek your face. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 8, please. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. If you are using New King James Version, underline observe. You might want to jot down all three of them, what we just remembered, okay? Write it down, listening to the word, remembering the word, obeying the word. Some of your version, like an NIV, will say obey. Just that's fine. Kind of expound with the two other words. Listening to the word of God, remembering the word of God, and obeying the word of God. It contains all three of them. That you may live and multiply, go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, note that, number one. Number two, test you. Number three, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. Did you notice 1-3? To humble you, to test you, to know you. Does it mean our all-knowing God does not know what we are thinking in our heart? No. This is not for God. This is for us. Okay? This is not for God. He already knows what we are going to do. But we need to know. Life is a proving ground. Like a Yuma proving ground, if this particular ordinance is good or not, so they blow up the things in there. Life is a proving ground for all of us, not for God. We often don't know what we are getting into until we fail the proving process. Some might say, well, yes, I do know my heart. Oh, very well. You don't. And I think not, and I know not. Actually, it is a frightening fact. We really don't know how much evil we are. And we are capable of doing without God and in our lives. What we see on 6 o'clock news and shake our head, guess what? We are all capable. Child molester, rapist, murder, all that, guess what? We are all capable without Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? If you're thinking, oh no, I will never do such a thing, you don't know. And you say, oh yeah, I do know. In case you think that way, go to the Jeremiah 17, please. Jeremiah 17. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Huh? Jeremiah 17, please. Verse 9. We memorize this verse, right? Heart is a deceitful. Are you there yet? Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What does it say next word? Who can know it? In other words, nobody knows it. We don't know our heart. See, the devil tempted Jesus, tempted us to bring out the worst in us. But God tests us to bring the best in us, out of us. And when God allows difficult circumstances to test us, we will either trust Him, become more mature, or we will rebel against Him, become more miserable. Have you seen miserable people? Why are they miserable? Because they always fight with God. And when the God's word says, do this, and they will say, but what? What is the remedy of this dilemma? Getting into the Word of God and remembering and obeying it, whether we like it or not. It's the same remedy they used 4,000 years ago, still applicable in our lives. And some people say, well, Bible is so ancient. Really? Guess what? It works. Because humans are human. That's why I said, without Jesus, we are capable to do any evil things. Okay, go down to verse 3, please. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your father know, that he might make you know that the man shall not live by bread alone. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Of course you do. But the man lived by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 4. Your garment did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Listen, good instructor will not start his or her instruction until they do this first. They evaluate his student, know what they are, and how they handle those things. They have to know them. That's kind of way of humbling them, make them to realize where they are. There's no sense in trying to talk to somebody like a teenager who knows everything, right? They know, even the adult, there are some people who knows everything. As soon as you start the one word of instruction, they catch, oh yeah, I can do this, and say, never mind. Of course, as a pastor, I have that kind of occasion, people who, when they come to me for counseling, and I try to give them the word, I would say, oh yeah, I know that, I know this, I know that, and never mind, go your way. And I was thinking, you'll crash again. You'll come back here again for an answer. Still, unless the person humbled themselves in the presence of God, ready to receive the instruction, there's no sense in giving out the word of God. If you give out the word of God when the person is not willing to listen, there's a word verse for that kind of thing. Do not cast the pearls to the swine. Or you do say, if that person says a Christian and they are willing to listen, you speak to them. If that person is not willing to listen to them, no sense in wasting time on you. Pray. You can do a whole lot more speaking to God. Prayer does not change anything. And some of you are thinking, no, prayer doesn't change, okay? The God who listens to your prayer change. You tattle on God about that person. When they what? When they're drunk? Keep them drink? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, okay?
Boy, if I got a quote from my friend,
yeah. No. Actually, don't talk to them when they're drunk. You're wasting your time. They're not listening. It's just when the alcohol is a depression media. When they're depressed, they feel sorry for themselves. They seek God. Some people seek God. Some people reject God. So it's a depressing agent. So you don't want to talk to them when they're drunk. When they're sober, when they hit the rock bottom, that's when you talk to them. When they open. Are you trying to talk to me? Okay. For the Israelites in the wilderness, each morning they receive manna. It's not just a physical substance. It's not a physical substance. It's a type of a coming Messiah who is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. When Satan tempted Jesus, you find in Matthew chapter 4, suggesting to Jesus, turn this stone into bread. You can do that. You're God. After all, you're Jesus. And this is the very verse of the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Jesus was quoting this. You shall not live with the bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. See, the Lord was teaching the Jews to depend on God for each day for their needs. We need to depend on God for each day for this. Nothing wrong with what we had. Great gourmet food we had. I don't care about the caviar. I tried one time caviar. I felt like I just licked the bottom of the pond. So if you like a caviar, sorry, then that's my personal opinion thing. Yeah. I tried escargot and end up in the sick bay. See, more than physical food, we need a spiritual food. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's our daily bread. A couple weeks ago on Sunday morning, I mentioned about the Israelite people who despised this worthless bread. Remember that time? Then I quote that. And I neglect to mention the manna represents Jesus Christ. After the service, Gary Holly, the theologian, came to me and pointed out to me that I was wrong. So I was like, yeah, I agree. I didn't point it out. And at that time, I just didn't think that it was necessary for me to bring that to the analogy. But it is correct. What he said is correct. Manna represents coming Messiah Jesus Christ. And we, as they had to depend on daily life, daily living on the bread of life and the manna, and we have to depend on that. Among the Israelites, those who obey God in the daily responsibility of the gathering manna would be inclined to obey the rest of his commandment. Our relationship to the Word of God, listen, this is good. Our relationship to the Word of God, the manna, indicates our relationship to the God of the Word. When you study the script, there are three items kept in the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going in the side story, okay? One is Aaron's staff. Second one is a bowl that contained the manna. And what's the third item? The Ten Commandments. Okay, in the Ark of the Covenant, they represent the presence of God. Top is mercy seat, right? That contains all that. Old Testament law, Jesus Christ kept the law. Staff that was dead and blossomed, resurrection. That's again, this is all the analogy. It's a representation. Am I making sense to you? Same thing with Moses. When he led the people, slavery people from Egypt, the Hebrews people, out of the Egypt, the bondage, to the promised land, he was representing Jesus Christ. Yeah. Is when you start to study the Word of God entire time, and you it start to make sense. Yeah. The more you study, the more you get to know. All right, let's go back. All right, on the lighter side, for 40 years, the Moses said, your clothes did not wear out, nor did your foot swell for 40 years. Ladies, can you imagine wearing the same clothes for 40 years? Not even 40 days, 40 years. And you can stand in front of a closet and you say, there's nothing to wear. And then your husband will say, what's wrong with what you have? You got it 20 years ago. It still looks brand new. Yeah. All right, verse 5. Go back to verse 5, please. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. This, in my opinion, this shows a true love of God for his children. How many children end up in ruin under the name of quote-unquote protecting their self-esteem in America in the last 30 years? See, rather than making the lazy student study harder, they become a productive and stronger student. We rather bring down the bright and smart competitive student down to the low grade level so everybody can say, we are in the happy medium. No, we are not. Discipline. Discipline is child training and the preparation of a child for responsible adulthood. Judge justly punish the convicted criminals in order to protect the society and uphold the law, but the father lovingly discipline a child to help that the child mature. Discipline is the evidence of God's love and of our membership in his family. Where do you find that? In Hebrews chapter 12, please. Phyllis, by the way, if you want to know how it connects them all together, remember the book I recommend, Treasury of Scripture Knowledge? Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. Talk to Rambo or the Terry. They will have in the bookstore. Or you can get on the internet, Blue Letter Bible, and get the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge from there for free. Chapter 12, verse 5 in Hebrew. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to son. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure the chastening, God deals with you as with the son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, this is a good one. This is, pay attention, please, on verse 8. If you are without chastening, of which all you have become partaker, then you are illegitimate and not sons. If God leaves you alone, whether you're doing right or wrong, you have to think that am I one of his? Yeah. Exactly. So chastening, in my opinion, chastening is evidence of God's hatred for sin and his love for his people. We cannot conceive a holy God wanting anything less than his very best for his children. And the best he can give to us is a holy character like a Jesus Christ. Obedience to the Lord builds character. However, sin destroys character. Am I making sense? God cannot sit idly by and watch their children destroy themselves. God has a tough love. There are some parents who will not spank their children for the sake of self-esteem. Guess what, mom and dad? You're just ruining your kid. Whether it's illegal or not illegal, the Word of God says so. Someone, you may know someone who only cares about material things. And in result, their lives are absolutely mess, one mess after another. Probably you can name a few of them whom you know right off the bat. See, even though they're in one mess after another, they still don't surrender to God because they think that they have to be in charge. Oh, they are in charge. They are driving them to the ground and bring themselves into the mess. Move down to verse 6. 6 through 10. Verse 10, you see the benefits of the obedience to the Lord. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment of the Lord, your God, and to walk in His way and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into the good land, and a land of a brook of water, brooks of water, and of the fountains and the springs and the that flows out of the valley and the hills, a land of wheat and of barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranate, and a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stone iron and out of those hills you can dig copper. And Ramon said, oh, where do you find that? Verse 10. Then you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. As we all know, the Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness. Why? Why did they stay there? Because the disobedience. And the wilderness never been their destination. Many people, actually all of them, all the adults who came out, anyone who was over 21 years, died there. Second generation ended up in the promised land. They didn't end up having a rich heritage God promised them. The same thing goes for the Christian life. See, being born again Christian and redeemed from the sin is only beginning of our walk with the Christ. Only beginning. There's so much more. That is a great beginning. And if we continue to surrender our will to the Lord and obey Him, He would give us far beyond our imagination, making us to be far more than conqueror with a rich inheritance in Christ Jesus. More than a conqueror. Original size, the land that God promised to Israelite, to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob, was 300,000 square miles. Goes from Euphrates River all the way to Egypt. All that land. During the strongest time, the time of King David and King Solomon, they only occupied 30,000 square miles. One-tenth. They did not inherit that rich inheritance because they chose to follow the locals rather than God. They rather followed the idols, that is nothing, which in Hebrew means idol means nothing. They rather follow nothing than God Almighty. That's the mentality they had. And don't look down on them because we are no different. Let's say you did something wrong to God. It can be a problem with the finance. It can be a problem. If you're not doing against wrong, God will not chasten you. If you're following the God, every way you can possibly, you can do it, He will not chasten you just for fun of it. Would you hit your child? There's many different ways of, you know, Pastor Ralph Rees, some of you know him. If you think I'm blunt, he makes me look like I'm a Sunday school teacher with a beating around the bush. Hey, yeah, exactly. No offense to you. Anyway, Raul is, sometimes he's so busy with doing God's work when he's not giving attention to God and keeping his relationship with himself and God. Sometimes God allowed him to get sick. I mean, sick so bad that he is flat on his back. And Raul cannot do anything other than giving full attention to him. That's a part of the chastening. Raul Reese. Because he was not paying attention to between relationship between God and him. Ministry is grace. Serving God, exactly what Gary said. Ministry is grace. Serving God is great. But if you neglect your relationship with God, God will say, you're going to hold on to you. I don't know how he's going to do it. He will get your attention one way or another. Let me put it this way. Ask God, see if there is anything wicked in me, in Psalm. Lead me in the way of your life. That's something you need to, the more you get to hear from him through the Word of God, the more you'll know. You'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And you will hear it. Yeah, it's a process. Yes. There's no break in the word in chastening because we are not perfect. It's not a punishment all the time. Let me hold on. Okay, I know what you. Don't be concerned about chastening is going to hurt you, so you're walking on the eggshell. Okay? We are running out of time, so I'm going to make it stop here. We don't walk on the eggshell. We're living in the grace. We're living in the mercy. So we walk with the confidence in God. And if we do wrong, when we're sensitive with the Holy Spirit, we will know when he says it. Correct, that's when you say, okay, I'm going to correct. If you say, then there's a punishment comes in. Remember, I told you not to say but to God? Because whenever we say but, what does it mean? We are wrong. So let's go on. This typifies the believers today and the spiritual wealth we can have. The richness of God's grace and mercy and love and all the other unsearchable riches of Christ is available, yet a lot of people missing out because they choose not to obey God. God is not against the material thing. Don't think that God is against the material thing. If there are some people, some Christians drive the horrible car and they walk around with the body odor and they think it's something against belief of being a Christian if they are well to do. No, it's not. God is not standing against the material thing except when the material thing comes between God and them. When they become an idol, he has an issue. He wants to bless us when we're spiritually obedient to in him. That doesn't mean that because we are obedient to him, that doesn't mean that we're going to have a big fat bankroll. The blessing does not always come in the financial things. You can be sick, you can be horribly poor, still you may have a joy in the Lord that cannot be bought. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, please. Put this in your heart, please. I'm sure a lot of you have this in your heart. But practice. Remember, not just hearing the Word of God, not just remembering the Word of God, what? Obeying the Word of God. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. So the motive of our obedience has to be love for the Lord our God. If we love Him, then we want to delight Him by walking in His way and obeying his all his commandment. Jesus said that's the first and greatest commandment. In other words, to disobey the word of God is what? Sin. is the greatest sin. Obedience to the will of God gives us freedom, not bondage. Some people think that, well, if I become a Christian, I cannot do what I want to do. Probably you're right. The carnal things that you want to do, you cannot do. You cannot cheat on your spouse. You cannot go out to the bank, rob the bank, or smuggle illegal aliens, so on. But guess what? While you're following God, you have a freedom that cannot be bought. And because God will provide that joy. Verse 11, be aware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping His commandment, His judgment, His statutes, which I command you today, lest you, and when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses, dwell in them, and when your herd and your flock multiply, your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpent and scorpion, that thirsty land where there was no water, who brought the water for you out of the flint rock, and who fed you in the wilderness with the manna, which your father did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do good you in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You know, that verse 17 reminds me of a hidden king who was going to verbalize this very probably same sentence on top of his palace while he was looking down his domain, and he turned into a beast for 7 years. Of course, I'm talking about King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. There is a great danger in prosperity. There's a great danger in prosperity and comfort, because we may become so wrapped up in the blessing of God, we forget where those blessings came from. For this reason, Moses was admonishing them to remind them to give thanks to the Lord for all the blessing they get. This my power and my might in my hand is already said in the lips, may not be said on the lips of a Christian. Instead, probably we are thinking it. Don't look at me, you never thought that. I did. You have. One time or another, we thought, yeah, I'm pretty good. I did it. When it's all by the power of God, even though you say, oh, shucks, it's the God, but you're thinking, oh, yeah, it's me. We need to be careful. It's not just what we say, what we think, according to what Jesus said. But move down to verse 18, please. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who give you power to get wealth, that you may He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nation which the Lord destroyed before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Is that clear enough? Listen, idolatry begins with a heart that gratitude to the giver is replaced by the greediness for the gift. You follow me? When our gratitude to the giver, gift giver, is forgotten and replaced by the greediness of the gift, then idolatry starts. Go to Romans 1:21, please. Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they the human, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This, you know what? This is not 2,000 years old. This is now. I'm going to explain to you. An ungrateful heart can quickly become a haven for all sort of a sinful attitude and appetite that cater to the flesh. What would the Lord do? He said, He made it very clear the covenant He speak to them through Moses. If you choose to follow idol like all the other nations you destroyed, I will destroy you. And that's what He did. He destroyed the northern kingdom Israel, and He destroyed the southern kingdom Judah. Southern kingdom Judah should take a cue, for their northern kingdom, sister kingdom, was destroyed. And oh yeah, they worshipped idols, they got destroyed. Maybe we should take a cue, and maybe we should not do that kind of thing. Guess what? They continued for a long time. Some of you watched this on the Senate hearing. Mike Mullen, chairman of Joint Chief of Staff, he was testifying in the Senate Armed Service Committee hearing. Military based on the meritocracy. It means it's not who you are, but what you do. They're depending on the merit. So in other words, they don't care who you are, if you're gay or not. This man, Joint Chief of Staff here, where is it? Where's the dot? Yeah. The guy with the star and the stripes. He's the Joint Chief of Staff. He's taking a cue from the white-haired man, Robert Gates. Robert Gates taking a cue from Obama. They're trying to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell homosexual policy. And they even said, if you don't like it, get out of the military. Marine Corps is absolutely against it, and they are going after the Marine Corps. And this is what they said, if the Congress would repeal it, the military will embrace it. Folks, this country is embracing all the perversion that God says, don't do it. This country has the mightiest military power of all the world. But this once mighty military power will become not so mighty one pretty soon. You know what? This man, I had a respect for Robert Gates because he was a very sharp man. I thought at the beginning, I thought he's not going to sway by back and forth. Been there, done that guy. And I realized that he's not. He's a politician, career politician. And this man, Mike Mullen, he is no different. This thing is not working. Mike Nolan is no different. He's not a, in my opinion, he's not a soldier. Yeah, he's not a soldier. You know, if he has any backbone, he would say, stick it, and then he would walk out. Listen, prosperity, ingratitude. Prosperity will lead to, if we are not careful, it will go to the ingratitude. Ingratitude will take it to the idolatry. These are the three steps toward the ruin. Am I making sense to you? Bible does not say that go for all this prosperity. I know the faith movement is the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. It's, if you are not rich, then you are not anointed by God. That's heresy. That's a heresy. Bible says, don't let me be so poor that I might steal the food. I'm paraphrasing, don't let me be so rich that I neglect you. And from the Proverbs. But these are not ancient sins. It's because they are present in the heart, homes, business, and even churches today. Joel Osteen is, of course, he's embracing prosperity gospel. He's not a pastor. He's a motivational speaker. Nothing more, nothing less. Three applications. Number one, curiosity or interest in God's word without the submission to it is grave danger. Curiosity without submission to God's word is a grave danger. Second application, when God allows a difficult circumstance to test us, that's chastening, we will either trust Him and become more mature, or we will rebel against Him or become more miserable. Speaking of chastening, Suzanne and the rest of you, sometimes chastening comes to us even though we haven't done anything wrong. And you may say, well, where do you find that? Book of Job? He didn't do anything wrong. According to the Word of God, he was a righteous man. If the Bible says righteous man, don't try to look for anything there, okay? He was right in the sight of God. He was trying to follow God, but God brought this thing. Why? Because there is something he can learn from it. While I was at the Senior Pastors Conference, I found myself with the hives. I mean, very, very bad hives. I asked you guys to pray for me. I still have it. I don't know what the problem is. However, all this time I never went to this doctor. My previous doctor, when I have a sinus infection, he gave me the antibiotics. That was about it. When I went to the doctor to see the new doctor, because I don't have the same insurance, I went to see the new doctor, and he did typical what doctor would do, and did blood test, and found that I have a diabetes, I have a high blood pressure, and I have a high cholesterol problem. 650 triglyceride, whatever, and then I have a fatty liver with all this thing, about 6-7 different things all in one time. Forget the hives, that's a minor thing. See?
Don't stand too close, Denver. Okay, there you go.
Can I touch you? See, I could think the hive was horrible. That was a chastening from God. No, that was not. That was for me to know all this problem. I found that the diabetes is not something, I don't mind dying. I just have a problem dying slowly in a bad way. Like my daddy, it took 3 years for him to die. He was in coma, in and out. He had a stroke. He didn't recognize people. I don't want my family to go through that thing. I ask God to just take me out quickly. If you want to put one in the head and take me out, that's fine.
Just follow us out in the parking lot. We'll take care of it.
Yeah, that's fine. You better be quick because I'm fast. See, the Lord used, for me, hives to find out other things. And now I have all these things, I can minister to other people better.
Or rebel and be miserable.
Yeah. Third application, obedience to the will of God, give us freedom, not bondage. We are never more free than when we fulfill the plan of God, plan God has for our lives. Okay? Let's stand up and pray.